As a director of a CRISP over the last number of years, I've become convinced of one thing, that perhaps the greatest legacy of the U.S. universities and of the CRISPs and of USAID's investment in the CRISPs is it's going to be its contribution to human resource development and institutional capacity building. That's what we're going to be remembered by. As was stated by Dr. Dadada, the mandate for U.S. university involvement in training and its role comes from the Title 12 legislation. It's in this legislation, this is just an excerpt, it says that the U.S. should mobilize the capacities of the U.S. land-grant universities and other eligible universities for improved human capacity and institutional resource development for the global application of agriculture and related environmental sciences. This is just one of the diverse mandates that it also include research and technology dissemination. Before I go any further, I want to make clear, though, that CRISPs are only one of a number of program areas where USAID makes investments in degree and short-term training, just to list a few of these here. The final or the bottom category, independent contracts for training, is the area that receives the greatest amount of actual dollars for degree training. However, I think the CRISPs have made a significant contribution in the area of agricultural science. What I'd like to do in my few minutes this morning is three things: define what the CRISP model is for training and institutional capacity building. We are unique, and it is a very unique model. To review some of our achievements as institutions and consider the challenges and innovations that we face as U.S. universities looking to the future. The CRISP approach, or the CRISP model, we hear that talked about a lot. And Dr. Williams put together a definition recently that I very much like. It says, the CRISPs empower host country institutions to address recognized needs and constraints through the creation of new technologies and knowledge, while concurrently, and I underline this, developing human resource capacity and competencies in strategic areas of agriculture and natural resource sciences, thus leading to institutional self-reliance and sustainability. That's a long definition. I could simplify it by stating that the CRISP approach is to integrate research in or training into research and outreach. It comes as a package. And this is something that we do on a regular basis in our graduate programs at our U.S. universities. It isn't something new, but it is a very strategic way and cost-effective way, as we're going to see in preparing leaders for the future. The U.S. Universities, and in particular the CRISPs, I think have comparative advantage. By the nature of the fact that we are institutions of higher learning, we have access, through the CRISPs, USAID has access to academic programs at over 60 U.S. universities. There are more universities than that have programs in the agriculture, natural resource, and environmental sciences, but at any one time, this number of universities are involved in CRISPs. Those universities partner with approximately 200 agricultural research institutions in over 70 developing countries, an incredible networking. There is integration of academic research and outreach in all degree training programs. There's a focus on finding solutions to public and private sector problems, very inherent in the way we in the agricultural sciences and the land grants do business. We collaborate with diverse partners, including agribusiness, government institutions, IARCs, NGOs, foundations, etc. And the last, but perhaps the most important trait or aspect of the CRISP training model is our long-term relationship with institutions. We not only select and identify the promising leaders of tomorrow, but as a result of our long-term engagement with these institutions, when a trainee graduates and returns home, that ongoing partnership ensures that that young professional can establish a program and be successful and contribute to developmental impacts within their respective countries. Prior to this presentation, I tried to accumulate some data on degree training, And this is not comprehensive. This is from 78 to 2007. For the existing 9 crisps, there's some crisps that have discontinued and some new crisps are starting up. But the total number of degrees supported since 78 that for which we could collect data was a little over 3,400. Of this, 3,145 have completed degrees. And we estimate that there are currently 272 students in training through the CRISPs. That number is low because several CRISPs are starting up and haven't brought in a new cadre of trainees. Just to show you some of the achievements in training over the years, you see that there are 4 core program or CRISPs that have been in existence for quite a while that have trained significant numbers of students, InserMill being the lead program here. And I understand from Dr. Yoey that in the early 80s, they had an additional contracted training program which contributed to this. As director of the Bean Cowpea CRISP, what I've been amazed by as I travel around the world and interact with various communities of scientists, the numbers of scientists in the developing world that have been trained through the CRISPs. It's very amazing. Some of these other programs that have lesser numbers are much newer and younger programs. Looking at the number of trainees that have been trained per 5-year period, we see that about 104 trainees are awarded on average per year. This is not the number of students that are supported in training during any 1 year, but the number of students that complete degree programs in any 1 year. If you took out those students that were trained by InserMill in the early 80s, I think you would see, at least we're keeping flat, where there's somewhat of an increase, but it's not enough. And as was discussed by our first speaker, there are many weak institutions around the world. We see attrition. We see the need for scientists trained in strategic or emerging areas of science, biotechnology, other areas. And so it's an ongoing need, and we hope that there are increased future investments. The demographics of CRISP trainees are quite interesting. Approximately 50% of our training is at the MS level, 30% or a third at the PhD. A statistic that surprises many is that certain CRISPs have invested substantially in bachelor's level training. The disciplinary areas are across the board, all the way from the basic sciences, animal science, soil science, genetics, to nutrition, to the social sciences, agriculture, economics, education, and extension. Historically, we've trained more males than females. However, many of the new programs are much, much better in achieving gender equity in terms of its training. With the location of training, it's important to recognize that CRISPs not only train students at U.S. universities, but a substantial number of students are trained at advanced institutions around the world. And about 75% of our trainees come from developing countries. So we are developing or preparing a cadre of U.S. and other country scientists. One of the comparative advantages of the CRISPs is our cost effectiveness. We are low cost, and I firmly believe that, and I hope I can convince you about that fact. The reason we're lower cost than many of the contracted degree training programs is our cost share. It's a reality. Faculty, PIs of CRISP projects that have CRISP trainees have other grant funds, and they use that to cover thesis research costs as well as other expenses, picking up a student on an assistantship for a semester. Departments and universities cover or waive out-of-state tuition for assistantships. That's another cost share form, as well as reduce the indirect cost rates. All these things contribute to a reduced cost or a lower cost for degree programs. We did some calculation prior to coming here, and we obtained from about 10 U.S. universities' data on what their cost of MS and PhD programs are. Plus, we added in international travel, thesis research, grant administration, and we came up with numbers of about 89,000 to train an MS student, a little over 200,000 to train a PhD student. Only having data for the Bean Cowpea CRISP, we did the calculation on this. It'd be interesting to know this for all the CRISPs. But we find that what it costs the Bean Cowpea CRISP is only about 56,000 or 63% of that, or a little over 100,000 or 56% for a PhD program. In other words, in our program, we have a substantial number of students that are only partially funded by the CRISP. There is significant cost share by the U.S. universities, and this reduces the cost to USAID. The other thing, factor that contributes to this is that CRISP trainees tend to complete their programs in a bit shorter time than students normally would. And I'm not sure if that's because of demands or by the major professor due to the length of contracts or whatever, but the students tend to complete their programs and get out more quickly. This past year, we conducted an impact assessment at Michigan State on CRISP training or training through the Bean Cowpea CRISP. I encourage all of you to visit this poster 249-7, which will be on exhibit tomorrow, that gives the data from this study. Just a few findings that I would like to highlight. CRISP trainee survey or respondents indicated that CRISP thesis research was highly relevant to current job and work responsibilities. 83% indicated that, which I find amazing. Of the various knowledge, skills, and attitudes acquired, they identified the ability to design, conduct, analyze scientific research as the most valuable KSA that they received. I think that's important to remember for many of you who are faculty and advisors of international students. What is going to be of great benefit to these young professionals as they return home? Some other survey findings that I think are noteworthy. 86% of the respondents said that they returned to a developing country after graduation, and 79% returned immediately to their home institution. With changes in immigration law and visas right now, I suspect that that's even higher, in excess of 90%. A statistic I found absolutely astounding is that 72% of the respondents over a 20-some year period worked in BCAOP-related fields upon graduation after returning to their home country. And 40% continued collaboration with their major professor or the university with whom they received their training. That's very important. I think there are many myths and fallacious dogmas that need to be dispelled. And the truth that I believe exists is that CRISP degree training programs are low cost, they're competitive. Degree or trainees do return to their home countries after graduation. CRISP thesis research does address constraints and applied problems of the agriculture and natural resource sectors in developing countries. CRISP graduates do enhance the capacity of and contribute to the sustainable institutional development. They remain at those institutions, continuing to be involved in research, outreach, and education related to the areas of their training. And they continue a relationship with U.S. professors and their respective universities. I think we're facing many challenges, though, as we look to the future. And I wish I had much more time to develop this area. But there's three words that I think we need to think about: competitiveness, innovation, and relevance. With regard to competitiveness, in the early 80s, when the CRISP were founded, the U.S. university system was second to none. We are still very excellent, but in the last 25 years, we've seen the emergence of outstanding universities and research institutions in the developing world, and in other countries such as India and Brazil and whatnot. So we have competition. We need to be innovative in accord with our comparative strengths as land-grant universities. There's a lot of institutions that can provide academic programs and research, but I think we have some unique value added to bring to the table. In particular, our linkage to agribusinesses, and many agribusinesses in this country that have interests in developing in the developing world, even for humanitarian reasons, and are willing to share technologies and knowledge. Our land grant system, still the integration of research, academics, and outreach still has application. And being relevant, such as to contribute to the enhancement of sustainable capacity of developing institutions. We need to be contemporary. Many new issues are arising. We need to be cognizant as faculty advisors of students of what the real needs are of these institutions, of what their perceived needs are, what skills and knowledge sets they believe are needed, and design our academic programs accordingly. I think there are many innovations that we should be considering. Some of these are programmatic that would be achieved at the college and university levels. Others are something that can be achieved in the context of an individual CRISP project. I think we need to think about new models of graduate degree programs, such as joint and degree institutional degree programs. Certain universities are doing this. I don't think it's moving as quickly as possible. Maybe we need to think more about lifelong professional development programs. Why do we have to have a degree completed in 2 years? Why couldn't we bring our degree trainees to the U.S. for short periods of time, let's say a month, a year, during the off season, and have intensive training over an extended period of time and contribute then to the professional development of our scientists? I would also challenge us to think about changes in our graduate program structure. From when I was trained, and my orientation as a professor has been very disciplinary, and I brought in students that have focused on a specific problem. I think as we think about our graduates moving more and more into the private sector, we need to have a balance between research and professional focus. We need to be thinking about more multidisciplinary or transdisciplinary training, value chain, rather than only in one sector. How do contributions in one area contribute to the needs and of the entire value chain? And maybe we need to be more flexible and design individual programs for target populations. With respect to value addition, I encourage you to think about how you can create research opportunities, non-degree opportunities in U.S. laboratories for host country scientists, create internship opportunities in U.S. agribusiness, participate in U.S. university outreach programs, as well as encourage many of you to consider teaching a course, short course and whatnot, overseas at a collaborating or partner institution. The challenges we have are many. I won't go into these. I think the name of the game is being flexible in designing programs that meet the needs of our target population. And responding to emerging issues. There are many global issues that are emerging. We need to think globally about what knowledge, attitude, and skill sets are needed for a new generation of leaders and prepare our students accordingly. And finally, to prepare a new global a generation of global leaders for public and private sector professionals. My final comment here is that I think CRISP benefits not only bring benefits for the host countries, the developing countries that we're in, but also for our U.S. Students, because they're going to be working in a very different world than I started in professionally 25, 30 years ago, and we need to prepare them accordingly. Thank you very much.